Welcome to the Natural Health 365 podcast, natural solutions for everyday problems. Are you looking for natural health solutions? Visit naturalhealth365.com for a free subscription to our newsletter, free shows, plus some great gifts. And now, here's your host, Jonathan Landsman.
All right, thank you for joining us. Our show today, Chronic Stress, How to Rid the Body of Emotional Trauma. Chronic stress from a lack of nutrition, toxins, or emotional trauma will trigger inflammation, digestive issues, and eventually immune-compromised conditions like autoimmune problems and cancer. Today on the Natural Health 365 podcast, you'll discover how neglected emotional trauma from childhood can harm your health even years after an event has occurred. But more importantly, we'll outline the steps necessary to identify these issues and how to properly overcome stress before it's too late. My guest, Nikki Greatrix, is the award-winning, internationally renowned registered nutritionist, mind-body expert, and health writer, helping people to optimize their energy levels. In 2005, she co-founded one of the largest mind-body integrative clinics in the UK with patients in 35 countries, where she worked as a director of nutrition until 2010. Nikki is currently the education director at NES Health and Supercharged, a quantum biology health technology company. Before we meet our guests, I'd like to thank our sponsor, Livon Labs, makers of the highest quality nutritional supplements on the market. The difference is in the delivery system. To learn more, visit livonlabs.com. That's LIVONLABS.com. And now, please join me in welcoming Nikki to our show. Nikki, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's great to be with you. Nikki, when someone is looking to overcome a chronic disease condition of any kind, for that matter, how important is it to you that they deal with the stress and especially the emotional traumas in their life?
It's so important. Unresolved emotional trauma from childhood has such a huge effect on health across a lifetime, and it's probably one of the most underexposed risk factors that is a causal factor for all major conditions today. People don't realize there's been major studies done by people like the Kaiser Permanente and the CDC, looking at literally 17,000 to 18,000 adults at a time. And these studies started in the mid-1990s. And some of the statistics that came out of that really are absolutely stunning. They look at childhood events. They call them adverse childhood experiences, and that's abbreviated to ACEs. And they were looking at things like parents separating or divorce, physical, sexual, or emotional abuse, physical and emotional neglect, domestic violence, mental illness in the family, substance abuse, or incarceration of a family member. And they would tot up how many ACEs people had and then correlated it with how many sort of chronic illnesses developed in later life. So the statistics, just a few, I'll give you a few examples. So first of all, 67% of all adults had experienced at least one ACE, and 80% of those had had more than one. 80% of more had more than one. So sort of things we're looking at is if you have a high level of ACEs, you have an increased, dramatic increased risk of developing 7 out of the top 10 causes of death. So if you have 8 or more ACEs, you have triple the risk of lung cancer, and 3.5 times more likely to die of heart disease, for example. If you have 4 ACEs, your risk of things like depression is 4.5 times higher, cancer 2.5 times higher, diabetes 1.6 times higher, stroke 2.6 times higher, things like chronic obstructive pulmonary disorder is 2.5 times higher. Being suicidal was 12 times higher, Alzheimer's 4.22 times higher. So in fact, if you have 6 ACEs, they found you have a reduced lifespan of 20 years. And there's also large correlations with all the major autoimmune diseases as well. So 2 ACEs is a 70 to 100% increased risk of all major autoimmune disease. In fact, and this is a stunning statistic, women who've had ACEs in childhood, the risk of onset of autoimmunity is strongly correlated as smoking is with lung cancer. So these studies are enormous, confirmed, and so it really shows it's hugely important to address it.
There's no doubt about it. As you're speaking, Nikki, all I do is shake my head. It's completely unacceptable to me that, and I know a lot of healthcare providers are listening to this program, it should be unacceptable to them as well, but perhaps a bit overwhelming. I'm sure you can relate to what I'm about to say, that we know that stress has a horrible effect on the body. I mean, chronic stress, obviously the stress of exercise or the challenges of increasing your business, you know, these are all exciting and more maybe fun things to do. This is not the kind of stress to avoid, but it's this chronic emotional traumas, the chronic stress that people have in their lives. This is the kind of stuff that healthcare providers shouldn't just be saying quickly to someone, oh, you should cut stress out of your life and check them out of the office and give them a pill. But at the same time, they probably feel like, you know, what can they do in their medical practice, right? They are limited, no?
Yeah, I just have to say I'm sure I agree with your sentiment there and everything that you just said. We do have this sort of very minimal idea about stress, that it's, you know, having too many emails, the stresses of modern day life. What we're talking about is something much deeper. It's actually toxic stress, toxic emotions. You know, when somebody's been traumatized, it means at the time that it occurred, they didn't have the abilities to deal with it, to resolve it at the time. And unfortunately, the body doesn't forget. It keeps the score, and time doesn't heal. It tends to conceal. So, and also just to mention as well, the rates are higher than 67% because the original researchers actually said we've missed off lots of things that should be called ACEs, things like being a victim of racism or bullying or witnessing violence. So there was more that in that. And also there's covert trauma, and also trauma is intergenerationally inherited. So third generation survivors of the Holocaust victims have been shown to have the same physiological aspects as their grandparents as well. So there probably isn't anyone coming into a clinic who doesn't have an ACE affecting them. So the main thing we want to do to start with is just to get practitioners out there and people ACE aware, just to get them aware that, wow, what happened to me in childhood, I may have some stuff which is unresolved, which perpetuated my illness, was one of the triggers, which could be also causing it to continue as well. So the first thing we can do is people can go and find out what their ACEs are. They can actually top them up. They can do the questionnaire that was originally used by the original researchers in the clinical studies, and actually find out, just start to explore, could this be a factor in their health?
I can relate so much to what you're saying. It makes perfect sense that people need to become more aware of these things and not just sort of, as you say, brush them off or think that it's nothing because something, you know, may or may not have happened 15, 20 years ago. They're not even thinking about it because they're so busy. I'd like to talk about it, Nikki. How does stress and trauma actually affect our body? This is important stuff.
Yeah, so what's the mechanism? Now, obviously, when we've had trauma in childhood, we couldn't deal with it at the time, and we have basically painful, unresolved emotions. Certainly, the research has shown you're going to have this increased risk of destructive health patterns. So obviously, people with high levels of ACEs, more likely to binge drink, more likely to become alcoholics, more likely to use injection drugs, more likely to undertake risky sexual behavior. And obviously, that would correlate with these higher statistics. It also, by the way, leads to personality traits like perfectionism, workaholism, overachieving, overgiving, all of those things which can reduce our own ability to self-care. So that will be linked in there too. But here's the interesting thing. If you had 7 ACEs, but you have normal cholesterol, normal weight, you don't smoke and you don't drink, you still had a 360% increased risk of heart disease with the ACEs. And they also found a similar thing with smoking and lung cancer. So if you had ACEs but you didn't smoke, you still had an increased risk. So what's going on? It's the to do with the biochemistry of stress. And what happens as a child, if we're having adversity, difficulties in childhood that are unresolved, causing negative emotions, it actually changes the way that our brains develop, and it actually changes the way that genes are read and transcribed. So the fairly frightening thing is this becomes permanent unless you intervene later. And what it does is essentially resets the stress mechanism. So, for example, when you have sort of traumas that are happening, you release obviously the stress hormones in response to that. But when it's happening at a young age, it's either a big, huge one-off stress or low-level intermittent stress, so where somebody feels safe, unsafe all the time. What happens is the genes which silence the stress hormones turn off. epigenetically they're being changed. And the threshold for what stresses you reduces. So essentially the body's flooded with inflammation at the slightest provocation. You're essentially marinating in, you know, inflammatory chemicals from a young age, and you're just waiting for a trigger in later life for a full-blown illness to set in. So, and there's research showing that epigenetic differences between children with ACEs and those that haven't, that cross the whole genome, not just the brain and those involved with the stress response, but genes implicated with cardiovascular diseases, obesity and cancer. And we've even found it, we didn't think this was possible, but the brain can become inflamed as well. So there's neuroinflammation. It sends these little cells in the brain go berserk, and they start pruning healthy neurons. Especially in the hippocampus area, and that's very important because the hippocampus, we found out, is where they produce new neurons and keeps the body, the brain, the anxiety sort of levels under control. So there's major epigenetic changes that happen across the board. But the good thing is that this can all be reversed and we can change our epigenetics. You know, science has shown there's something called neuroplasticity. This is great news. We can change our brains, neurogenesis, even synaptogenesis, which means we can change our brains, we can regrow new neurons, we can reset the stress system. Nothing's impossible. It can take time, but very often people aren't thinking about how they might need to, you know, kind of resolve emotional and physical aspects of stress that's happening from childhood. That's often they're disconnected from the emotions as well, because that's the idea. We've shunted it away into our unconscious, and the body's expressed it through illness because we didn't deal with it at the time. We didn't have the skills or the abilities.
Just fantastic information, Nikki. I mean, again, it doesn't sound scientific, so I could tell that the healthcare providers may roll their eyes at what I'm about to say, but without disclosing names, I know in my past, in thinking about people as you were talking, who suffered with major problems, we're talking about cancer in particular, a high-performance medical doctor who had, you know, the best looks, and I'm talking about people that I know, the best looks, the most successful medical practice, never smoked at all, but in the background, I was aware of the fact that this person was always worried about the well-being of his family. It was an emotional thing inside of him, and he eventually got lung cancer, and this is one of the things that, you know, it took his life, but this is one of those things that I can see exactly like what you're talking about. Again, conventionally trained doctors would say, oh, come on, but this worry, we know from Eastern philosophies, Eastern medicine, if you will, that worry is so connected to the lungs and fear is so connected to the kidney area. And it goes on and on and on, these connections between emotions and our physical health. And it's real, like you say, with the biochemistry as well. I know women who've had traumatic marriages, you know, where they broke up and divorce and all of this terribleness. And of course, they're dealing with the aftermath with breast cancer. And on an intuitive level, I would imagine a lot of people understand how stress can truly have, if we don't address it properly, can have a really negative effect on our health. Nikki, I want to talk about some of the steps in addressing the emotional trauma that you talked about, some tips on dealing with this better. But first, I want to thank our sponsor, Livon Labs, makers of the highest quality nutritional supplements on the market. The difference is in the delivery system. To learn more, visit livonlabs.com. That's livonlabs.com. So, Nikki, let's dive a little deeper into this now. Okay, we get it, right? We're listening. I feel like this emotional trauma is having a negative influence on my life. So what are some of these steps to address this? What do we do first?
Great. So I would go ahead and find out what your ACE score is and start to, really step one is I call it explore. So I happen to, because I talk about this a lot, I happen to have put a questionnaire that is from the original research paper on getting your ACE score on my website. So it's nikkigratrix.com ACE score. Very straightforward. You can just start by looking at that and totting up your score and have a look at, you know, what your number is and the correlations. And then explore, okay, maybe you never thought even about this before, these aspects that could be affecting your health now, and have a look at what has gone unaddressed. And when you look back, one of the great things to do is start journaling, actually write about it. And that's been scientifically shown that when you journal about experiences, it can be very therapeutic. And sometimes just awareness and knowledge itself that there's a connection maybe between what happened in childhood and what's going on now in your health can resolve the trauma. So journaling, writing about it, exploring. There's one book that's been written so far that's really good on this subject called Childhood Disrupted by Donna Jackson Nakasawa, available on Amazon. If you're interested in the science, you can read that book. But she also tracks some patient stories, very interesting patient stories and how they recovered and what happened to them. So, and it can help trigger in our own minds about how that may have affected, you know, we might have similar stories. There's also other things you can do. That there happens to be a personality typing system that you can do, and it's the wisdom of the Enneagram system, where you can work out, do you have these tendencies to be a perfectionist, a workaholic, an overachiever, or an overgiver? And they'll help you track back to kind of ACEs that may have happened. Actually, you can do that questionnaire completely free at EnneagramInstitute.com. So you could do that. So the first thing is just reading, exploring, journaling. I would say that definitely also the science has shown that if you have never spoken about things that happened in childhood with a trusted other person, would be a non-judgmental, neutral person like a counselor, like a psychotherapist, even that basic level of talking about things can resolve, can allow you to overcome things. There are also lifestyle interventions that definitely the research is good to show it will literally reduce stress. There's a paper that just came out about meditation showing it reduces inflammation in the brain and reduces the stress response. So four key areas are things like Qigong, yoga, Tai Chi, meditation. Plenty of research showing that kind of ongoing practice definitely reduces this stress response and is part of the ways that we can change the brain and increase our stress threshold. So those are certainly sort of low-cost things that you can start to do right away. There are also obviously other forms of therapy where you might want to see a professional therapist, and there's promising therapies out there that are also research-backed. So one thing that's being used a lot for post-traumatic stress disorder, for example, that might be appropriate for some, not everybody, but something called EMDR, which is eye movement desensitization and reprocessing. You could actually find a practitioner in that, which is emdr.com. Things like neurofeedback looks promising. You need to find a practitioner to help you do that. It's very expensive to buy the neurofeedback machinery, but practitioners are out there that specialize in it. There's a few other types of therapies as well that are a little bit more on the alternative side, but the research is it's very popular, actually, and the research is slowly starting to build up of the proof behind that too. Things like emotional freedom technique or thought field therapy. They're the energy psychology therapies. Energypsych.org, there's tons of free information on there and online generally on those. And also things like NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, something I used a lot in the clinic that I co-founded, has been found to be extremely useful as well. I just want to mention one other as well. It might overwhelm people, but the idea is there's plenty out there, and just as everybody's biochemically different, everybody is psychologically different, and one thing isn't going to suit everybody, so you've got to find what works for you. But I would also mention there's a book called Waking the Tiger by Dr. Peter Levine, who's a world-leading expert on trauma resolution, and he has somatic experiencing, and that's more of a body work, exploration through the body. And so trauma doesn't just exist in the brain, it does get stored in the body as well. It links to what you were saying, Jonathan, about how certain emotions can affect different organs in the body, and sometimes we need to release it through the body as well. So the good news is plenty of help out there and plenty of proven techniques for people.
Oh, Nikki, just wonderful. I mean, as you were talking, I was thinking about how, you know, like you say, everybody's different. Some people can't sit still, close their eyes with their arms relaxed, and just do one of these seated meditation type sessions of 5, even 5, 10 minutes. They just can't do it. Their mind is going a mile a minute. But if they would just make the effort to walk, say, 10, 15, 20 minutes every day, that it just in that walking, if they made the decision just to try to calm themselves down and think through some things to try to improve the quality of their day. And then, of course, if they're doing it on a consistent basis, how that will improve the quality of their month, their year, their life, you know, that they could use this walking as a form of walking meditation. So this is great. And also in terms of the massage, you're so right. Some people really respond well to just getting that massage and feeling like, oh God, I have such a hard time letting go of that tension. And then they make connections emotionally to other things in their life. So the body work really helps them to get in touch with what they need to do next, just like the walking or anything else. And I want to just say one other thing that I'm sure you find is a real obstacle for a lot of people is we're talking like this, and it's easy to have a knee-jerk reaction of thinking, well, you know, this is a little too self-centered. It's too selfish for me to be doing this. I have much more important things to do with my life, but this is not about being selfish at all. You want to address that?
Oh, most certainly. I mean, you know, you can't help other people before helping yourself properly first. And, you know, if you are essentially, you know, unresolved emotional trauma, it plays out in so many ways. It's through our relationships, how we're relating to other people. You know, if we're stuck in a negative, often disconnected from these negative emotions, they're often projected onto other people. So, and we're putting our own health at risk. So, you know, we're being a victim ourselves if we're stuck in that state. So, you know, if you want to be the best for everybody else, you know, become the standard, you know, and deal with your own trauma, take the time, and then you'll become a better person to be around for everybody else. And then you'll, you know, it'll allow other people to kind of consider that maybe they need to do that too. So set the standard, be the example. We have to spend a lot of time getting people to do that because they're in all kinds of patterns of overgiving and so forth. But yeah, that's a cultural taboo area that we need to break through. It's going to take time.
No, there's no doubt about it, Nikki. And what you're describing about not forgiving somebody from 15, 20 years that hurt you so severely, you have a very short fuse for so many other people in your life, right? And those people, like you say, like, what's wrong with this person? I mean, all I did was leave the coffee cup out, or I didn't put the dishes away, you know, right after drying them or something, you know, it's like whatever. And the person is getting so angry at me, but it's really issues from before. That's what you're describing. If somebody has been cheated on and they're having trouble with trust issues, now they can't trust anybody. And then, of course, the closest people in their life, it may be 15, 20 years later, but they still don't have the ability to trust because that trust was broken a long time ago. All of these things are huge, no?
Gigantic. You know, emotional trauma, it's a bit like a virus. So if you have unresolved trauma because someone did something to you when you were a child, it imbalances your own energy. You get disconnected from your own source of love and balance. So you generally have to steal it from someone else, and you're often unconsciously being kind of abusive towards the other person, even if it's on a subtle level. So it's very viral. Once we've been bitten, we have to bite someone else because we're disconnected from our own source of love and balance. So if you don't want to be an energy vampire, if you had unresolved emotional trauma, you probably are an energy vampire. We all are sometimes. So I use that provocative term because it kind of gets people going, oh, I don't want to be an energy vampire. But most of us are some of the time. So our relationships with other people, are hugely impacted by personal trauma, not so much the kind of different types of trauma like experiencing, you know, homelessness or a financial crash. But, you know, trauma from other people, it acts like a virus. So, yeah, let's hope that wakes people up.
I want to thank our sponsor, Livon Labs, makers of the highest quality nutritional supplements on the market. The difference is in the delivery system. To learn more, visit livonlabs.com. That's livonlabs.com. Nikki, I know from your past you created a beautiful summit. I want you to talk about this summit, the speakers that you had, the issues that you were talking about. I know this was really involved in so many of the discussions that you had. If people are listening to the Natural Health 365 podcast somewhere else on a mobile device, that's fine. But you're going to get information if you go to naturalhealth365.com. Go to the podcast page where you're listening to the show. You'll see information about Nikki's summit. But please, Nikki, talk to us about it.
Yes, so I ran the Abundant Energy Summit. It was August last year, 2015. And so I interviewed 30 world-leading experts. We were focusing on optimizing energy and overcoming fatigue, but it really applied to, you know, general health across a lifetime. And we really went in depth into all these aspects that we were talking about. So we even started by having some very amazing practitioners just expanding the framework of our awareness, both for practitioners and potential patients and people generally interested in health. So, for example, we love, you know, the functional medicine movement and understanding systems biology, but we need a wider model that takes into account more of the energetic and psychological aspects, where we give a bit more time, effort, and focus on that, because it's so huge. So, for example, we had Dr. Dietrich Klinghart talking about his five levels of healing model, which is where we have a physical body, an energetic, mental, intuitive, and spiritual body. And people loved that. For the first time, they had a framework that was truly holistic, so we weren't just talking about biochemistry. I also collaborated on the summit with someone called Ken Wilber, who's probably the greatest theoretical psychologist ever, who put his what's called integral theory, and it's along the same lines. And he talked about integral theory applied to medicine, and it means we have this expanded view about what's everything that can be affecting somebody through a lifetime and impacting their health, not just external biological factors or the external biological environment like chemicals, but what about culture? What about other people who are energy vampires? And what about the kind of these unresolved traumas and our perspective, our beliefs as well? And then plenty of other people. Dr. Joan Borisenko, amazing lady, the founding mother of psychoneuroimmunology with her three PhDs from Harvard, talking about how ACEs affect our personality through a lifetime. I had the amazing Dr. Judith Orloff, who New York Times bestselling author, where she specifically spoke about energy vampires. And she was saying, look, I'm assistant psychiatry of UCLA, and I can tell you energy vampires are real. We went through all that. We also spent a lot of time talking about NLP techniques and this idea of limbic kindling. This is where I was saying about the brain becoming kindled to have a lowered response threshold to stress and how you intervene with that. So we had world-class practitioners talking about how that works, how to do it. Dr. Leonard Jason, an amazing professor of psychology, who talked about how chronic fatigue is caused by limbic kindling. And Lynn McTaggart talked about beliefs and intentions. And finally, there were plenty of people from the functional medicine area as well, like Dr. Tom O'Brien and Jeff Bland. But Patricia Fennell as well, she's an extraordinary lady who's looking at the effect of having chronic illness and how that is traumatic. So you could be traumatized by falling ill with a chronic complex illness and how that affects biology as well. So it was a bonanza of looking at in-depth mind-body approaches. So I encourage people to check it out.
No doubt about it, Nikki. I do the same thing as well. I would encourage people to listen to these shows. I mean, to me, I just shake my head. I can't believe why anyone would want to listen to the mainstream media anymore. Our television and our personal home has been thrown out a while ago. All we do is listen to podcasts. That's why I created the Natural Health 365 podcast, to introduce people to a whole world of different things that can improve the quality of their life. Why not tune in to things when you're in the car, on a mobile device, you know, when you're walking or driving somewhere or whatever it is? Listen to something that's going to enrich your life, not like what you say, steal energy from you. I mean, the mainstream media is a perfect example of just talking about the negativity of economics, politics, name-calling, wars, death, destruction. All of this is going to steal the quality of our life. It's going to not give us anything to help us. So I would strongly suggest that people get your summit and learn about things that really improve what it is that they want to improve. It's out there. You know, you don't know until you learn something, right?
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more with everything you just said there.
Nikki, I want to thank you so much for your time today. It's much appreciated.
Thank you very much for having me.
The show was brought to you by NaturalHealth365.com. Are you looking for natural health solutions? Visit NaturalHealth365.com for a free subscription to our newsletter, free shows, plus some great gifts. Thank you for listening, and be sure to join us next week for another great show.